Thank you, Bill, and thank you for being here this morning. I trust that as we begin our time in God's Word here on this last Sunday of 2008, that your heart is ready to hear what God would say to you. I trust that is true of you every day when you get up out of bed in the morning, whether it takes you 1 second or maybe a couple hours to get out of that bed. But I trust that when you wake up, you're ready to hear the Lord speak to you through His Word. And what a blessing that each of us have such easy access to God's Word. We know there are many around the world who don't have that wonderful privilege that we do to own a copy of the very Word of God, the Scriptures. I trust that we won't take that for granted as we end 2008. And that we'll go into 2009 more excited than ever about knowing that we can hear the voice of God speak to us through His Word. A lot of folks travel during the holidays. A lot of folks here this morning have traveled from a distance to be here with family and with friends, and we welcome you. And if you just walked across the street, we welcome you too. Generally, when I go on a trip, I'm the kind of person that leaves point A and really doesn't want to stop until I get to point B, my final destination. I know some people like to take the long way around and the scenic route and look here and there and stop at every little store and nook and cranny around, but that's not me. I get in the car and I'm ready to go. And maybe you're like that too. But I want you just to imagine for a moment, I want you to imagine taking a trip where on the way to your final destination, you have some places that you are really looking forward to visiting. And maybe you've been on a trip like that. It wasn't just from point A to point B, but rather it was from point A to point M, and you had a lot of stops in between which were scheduled and planned, and they were things that you were looking forward to as well. And let's just imagine that now you're leaving point J, let's say. You know that you're going to point M, but you're looking forward to point K, but you really, really enjoyed point J. And so as you drive off, you look in the rearview mirror for one last glimpse, hoping that you'll never get over the experience that you just had. And if you can imagine that, I hope that to some degree that can be your experience in the journey of your life as you head into 2009, but look back at 2008. I trust that God has worked in your life and worked through your life in such a way that you hope you will never get over the experiences that you have had in the past year. As a local church, we have sought to emphasize in the year 2008 the biblical teaching of good works, of good works. And I don't know about you, but as I leave 2008 and go into 2009, I really have enjoyed taking a long look in the rearview mirror, trusting that I will never get over the emphasis that this local assembly has placed on good works during this past year. Now, this may be the first time you've been with us in 2008. So you may have had no idea that that was an emphasis of this local church. I hope that if you've been here with us more than a few times that you've picked up on that emphasis, but maybe not. But I trust this morning as we kind of look back just a little bit to again be challenged before we leave 2008 and go into 2009 to again be challenged with this thought of good works in the life of the believer. And I've entitled our time together this morning, Good Work. Good Work. And we're going to start out, if we could, by just reading in Matthew chapter 25. I ask you to turn there. The Lord Jesus, in teaching in the book of Matthew, He emphasizes in many ways the kingdom of heaven. He emphasizes truths for the nation of Israel, not only at that time, but in the future. He is pointing out many things concerning what God is going to do with the nation of Israel for His glory, not only then and now, but in a future day. But there is great application here to the life of the believer in 2008 and in 2009, really of all time. The Word of God is living and powerful. It's breathed out by God and is profitable for us. It doesn't matter when we live. It doesn't matter where we live. But it affects how we live. So we want to start out, if we could, and I want us to begin in verse 13, which is actually the last verse of a parable, a story the Lord Jesus has just told concerning the 10 virgins. Five of them were prepared for the return of the bridegroom. Five of them were not prepared. And he ends that parable with a statement which not only concludes that parable, but is a beautiful introduction to the next parable. So we'll start there. Look at verse 13 of Matthew 25. Remember who is speaking. It's the voice of the Son of God. And he says, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several or individual ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. In other words, here it is back, the one you gave me. Verse 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest, therefore, to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury or with interest. Take, therefore, the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is a story told by the Lord Jesus, the master storyteller, with which you are probably familiar. Maybe you're not. Maybe it's the first time you've ever heard it. Or maybe you've heard it many times. But I would like for us to consider this story this morning that the Lord Jesus told around 2,000 years ago. And I would like for us to see how the Holy Spirit of God would make application to our hearts today as we look in the rearview mirror and remember 2008, and especially those of us who are involved here participating, fellowshipping in this local assembly, that we might be challenged as we move away from 2008 and move into 2009 with a different emphasis as an assembly, along with what other goals you may be setting, challenges you may have for yourself and for your family, but not forgetting good works. I would like to begin just very quickly before I get too far, just to mention the historical connection between good works and the gospel with believers in the Lord Jesus. As we look back into the history of the church, and we don't have time to really do that this morning, but beginning with the early church, we see an emphasis on caring for others. Those who were believers, yes, they're brothers and sisters in Christ, but also beyond that, Paul told the Galatian believers, and we have it in the epistle to the Galatians, chapter 6 and verse 10, as you have opportunity, do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. So there was an emphasis on doing good, reaching out, helping, ministering, doing good works for other believers. But he also let them know that as you have opportunity, as God provides the privilege for you to do it, then you reach out and you do good works for others too. And we see down through the history of the church that it often has been the believers in the Lord Jesus who have been the ones spearheading things like building hospitals and teaching people how to read and caring for the hurting and the oppressed. There came a point in the history of the professing church, and really it's been in recent generations, where there became, as it were, a split between those who would preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that salvation is by faith alone, it is not of works, lest anyone should ever think they can boast about having the right to stand before God or have a relationship with Him. No, it is not. It's all of grace, because the Lord Jesus has done the only work that can provide forgiveness of sins and can bring us into a relationship with the God who created us and give us the assurance of eternity with Him in heaven rather than eternity separated from Him in the lake of fire. There became a separation between those who preached that message, it seems, and those who, as it were, went down another road where they did good for their fellow man, but didn't share the real reason behind that and the reason for that. You see, at that point, there came, as it were, a fork that God never intended. God's intention is seen in the Scripture from beginning to end and seen in the life of the Lord Jesus. It's the life of someone who is born again, made a new creation in Christ, bringing forth without apology the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and He was seen. And if you don't believe that, and you don't receive the Lord Jesus, then you have no eternal life. God's intention was that we stand firmly on the truth that salvation is by grace through faith plus nothing, nothing, nothing. But yet, while proclaiming that truth with clarity and with boldness through our lips and our lives, that we would simultaneously be the ones who are reaching out to those around us, seeking to do good works on behalf of the Lord Jesus, who said, "You are my body." Seeking to reach out to those who are hurting, to those who are in need, to those who have been neglected, to those who have been rejected, that we might reach out to them with the love of God, not separating those two things. And I hope that we'll see that as we go through this morning, as we look back in the rearview mirror. As you look back in the rearview mirror at 2008, if God has in any way used this theme to challenge you to reach out beyond your normal circle, to reach out into the community around you and to seek to do good for the glory of God, I would just like to begin by commending you this morning. Good work. Good work. Well done, as the Lord Jesus would say. You know, a commendation for me is not a big deal, by the way. But I want to encourage you, and I want to thank you. You know, Paul said to the Corinthian believers, you know, he said, you know, it's really, this is a paraphrase, it's really not a big deal what you think about me. You know, it's really not that big of a deal to be commended by other human beings. In fact, it's not even really a big deal that I think well of myself. He said, what really matters is the Master. It's the Lord Jesus. It's the one who died for me and rose again for me and gave new life to me and enabled me to live a life for Him. And it's what He thinks and it's what He says that really matters. He wrote another letter to the Corinthians. That was from 1 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, Paul says, you know, I'm laboring that whether I'm here on the earth or I'm with the Lord Jesus, I may please Him. He says, that's why I'm living my life the way I am. He says in 2 Corinthians 10:18, you know, it's not the person who commends himself who is approved, but rather the one whom the Lord commends. And so for me to say, good work, I hope you'll take that as an encouragement that what you've done for the Lord is appreciated by me and by the elders of this assembly and by this local church and by for those by those you have cared about. But what's most important is that you hear the voice of the Lord Jesus saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Here we're going to make application again to ourselves today. The man in the story, the master, the Lord, the ruler, he was a very, 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 very wealthy man. And we see that by what he left for some of his servants to take care of, a talent, a measurement of wealth, an exchange rate, as it were. Some commentators say that one talent was equivalent to roughly 16 and a half years of labor by a common laborer or a foot soldier. 16 and a half years of work by a common man rolled into one talent. We see that this man went away. The Lord Jesus said he went away on a trip to a far country. The Lord Jesus, when he ascended back to heaven, he went away, as it were, on a trip to a far country. And when he left, he said, I want you as my servants to be responsible as stewards of what I am leaving behind, and I'm coming back. In the story, the man was gone a long time, but he came back. You know, he didn't leave a date of when he was going to return, but those servants believed he was coming back. I want us to look very quickly this morning at three things about the opportunity of good work. We've got a little play on words here, good work or good works, and the thought of well done, good work, good job, way to go, good work. First of all, we see the opportunity to do good work. Again, we started there in verse 13. Being reminded that we don't know when the Lord Jesus, the Son of Man, his favorite name for himself, as he spoke of himself, we don't know when he's coming back. We don't know the day, we don't know the hour. And then he illustrates himself and his going back to heaven, again as that man traveling to the far country, and he called his servants and delivered unto them his goods, his possessions. The master left them with a responsibility, and he left them with the resources with which to accomplish that responsibility. He left his property. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, then you know Jesus Christ as Lord. He is the Lord of all. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. He is the Lord of glory. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the master. He is your master. And he has the right to give you what he chooses to give you. And he has the right to expect you to be a good steward, a good manager of what he leaves with you. And the Lord Jesus, in going back to the right hand of his Father, he sent the Holy Spirit to come and to live within every believer, every true born-again Christian. The Spirit of God lives within us, and he, among other things, enables us to do good works, to honor him, to be obedient, to live a life which reflects what the Lord Jesus has given to us in the Scripture. We don't know when he's coming back. It could be while I'm speaking this morning. We don't know when he's coming. We're looking for his coming if we know him. But while we're waiting, as we see in the parable of the 10 virgins, we're also working, as we see in this parable. The Lord, we read in Ephesians 2:10. Earlier we spoke of Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Before we were ever born, God had already chosen good works for us to do. Things that once we had come to faith in Christ, once we were saved by the grace of God, we didn't deserve it. He had to provide it as a gift through the death, burial, and resurrection of his Son, the one who shed his blood that we might have forgiveness and be made right before God. God had already planned for good works to be done by us in 2008. And if it's his will that we're still here in 2009 as well. And he says again from Galatians, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in doing good works. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And God, in 2008, and as you look in the rearview mirror, you might be like me. It's not all happy thoughts as I look in the rearview mirror. I see some things where I missed the opportunity. It wasn't that I didn't have the opportunity. I had it. But I missed the opportunity to do good to all. And I'm ashamed of that. And I regret that because I can't go back and get it. It's gone, never to be repeated. I've missed some opportunities. And very likely you have too. But I trust that as we look into that rearview mirror, it will only challenge us to look ahead and say, I might have missed it then, but I'm not going to miss it again, because there are people all around us in this city, in this county, in this state, in this country. And I think I've included everyone that's in this room this morning. In this world, there are people who are in need. God is saying, here's an opportunity for you to do good, to reach out as a believer. He said, I will bless that. And I'm watching. This past year, we've tried to encourage good works. I look in the rearview mirror and I look back to a week in the month of June. Our youth group has been going on a mission trip every summer for the last few years. But this year they weren't going to be able to go. It didn't work out. It didn't seem to be of the Lord. It wasn't of the Lord. But we decided, hey, we don't have to go to another state to do a mission trip. We don't have to go to another country to do a mission trip. There are people right here in Greensboro that need us to reach out to them. And just as when our young people go to the Emmanuel mission station there on the Navajo reservation, they go out and they do good works. They do practical things for other people who are in need, and they also share the gospel. And that's what we wanted to do. And I look back in the rearview mirror and I remember that week of June. And I look back and I see a group of people from Shannon Hills Bible Chapel going to the Pathway Shelter for women and children. The people who were in difficult situations. And we were able to go, and thanks to many of you, we were able to take a feast for those people. That they could eat like they rarely, if ever, eat. And all that they wanted. And we were able to bring them some gifts, some practical presents. And then we're able to share the gospel. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I still remember the story our brother Ronnie shared that day. Abraham offering his son Isaac. God offered his son for us. And we're able to share the gospel. I remember Tuesday night of that week. Many people from this assembly met together here, and we went out door to door through the neighborhoods right here around this building. Most of these people never come over here. And so we went to their house. You know, and all we said was, do you have any prayer requests? We're going to have a prayer meeting tomorrow night, and we're going to pray for our community. We care about this community. What can we pray for you about? Some of them gave us very practical requests. Some of them gave us spiritual requests. And then on Wednesday night, we came in here and we prayed not for ourselves, not for our own needs. We prayed for the people of these neighborhoods around us. And we prayed for the things they asked us to pray for, but we also prayed for their spiritual needs. On Thursday night, I look in the rearview mirror and I remember that 3-on-3 basketball tournament we had up here in the gym. We've done it several times. And the young people come to that from these communities. They don't come to the meetings here, but they came to that. And they'll come to that and they'll play basketball and they love that. But they're not going to get out of there without hearing the gospel. We were reaching out. We're trying to show. We do it every Thursday night of the school year. This community, they know that this assembly of believers cares about their young people. And we want to give them a place to go. And while they're there, we see that as an opportunity to share the gospel. That same week was a week of Bible school. And we were inviting children in from all over Greensboro to come. And we wanted to show them we care about you. And gave them the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We have a van ministry that the Lord has raised up. The Lord has opened the door. We didn't go looking for it. We didn't ask for it. We didn't pray for it. God said, here's a talent. Here's something, an opportunity I'm going to give you to do good. And a number of people have grabbed hold of that and have gotten involved in going out into low-income neighborhoods and bringing in children. And you know, all of us are a part of that. All of us are a part of that. Those who are in leadership of that group, they want our prayers. They want our participation. And when we see a band kid somewhere where he or she isn't to be, we need to tell them. We need to come up beside them like our own child. And with love, say, where are you supposed to be? You can do a good work. You can show a young person you care. This isn't just the van ministry people's responsibility. We all can be a part of that. And God desires that. The urban ministry, we can go down there and share a meal with them. We do that one Sunday morning every other month. But maybe God would have you to be more involved in that. There's a pregnancy care center for unwed mothers and women with unwanted pregnancies right here in our city, and it's operated by believers. And maybe God would have you get involved with that. Maybe God wants you to tutor a child, a young person. I don't know. We could go on and on. We don't have time to look at all the opportunities. But I believe God is giving us opportunities to do good work. Not only do we see the opportunity to do good work, we see, as it were, the opportunity to employ good work, to take the good work and to put it to use, to make use of that good work that other things might result. In other words, we don't do the good work just because it's good. I want to emphasize that. We don't feed people with the food pantry we have here. We don't go out and try to minister to people who are hurting just because it's good to do that. No, there are other things with which we, other reasons that we employ these good works. You see, these individuals, the one with the five talents and the one with the two talents, we can see that in verse 16, the one with the five talents went and he traded with the same. He put that to work. He invested that. He figured out how he could take the five and increase it. The one with two, he did the same thing. He went out and he employed those two talents and he gained two more. That was the purpose. Now, the other guy, he didn't do anything with it. He took it and buried it in the ground. He didn't want to take a chance. He didn't want to risk anything. If we're not careful, that can be our attitude. It's kind of risky. It's kind of risky to go outside of our comfort zones. It's kind of risky to reach out into the life of somebody who's different from us. It's risky. But the one with five talents and the one with two talents, they said, I'm willing to take the risk because I'm doing it for my master. And that's what God would have us to do. And we can employ good work. I've got a list here. I don't have time to go through all of it. We can employ good works to do other things, to reflect the Lord Jesus, to reflect Him. John 10:32. The Lord Jesus said to His enemies, many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? Now He could have gone on and said, was it healing the blind? Was it feeding the hungry? Was it helping those who were sick? Was it caring for the poor? Was it teaching them about God? Which one of those good works are you going to stone me for? The Lord Jesus showed good works through His life. He went about, the Bible says, He went about doing good. He didn't only preach the gospel, did He? Along with the gospel, the Lord Jesus was doing good. He was healing, He was touching, He was caring. We can employ good work to reflect Christ, to glorify God. Our verse for this year has been Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He is worthy of glory, and we can glorify Him as we do these things and then give Him the credit as He gives us the opportunity. We can demonstrate God's love. We can use good works to demonstrate God's love. The Lord Jesus in Luke 10 told that famous story about the Good Samaritan. The man who came along and saw a person who would normally be someone that he wouldn't have anything to do with, and the man had been beaten and robbed, and he helped him. He reached out in a practical way to care for that man. The Lord Jesus said, here is what it is to be a neighbor. He had just been asked, well, who is my neighbor? Okay, I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself. Well, who is that? The Lord Jesus says, in essence, anybody, friend or foe, upon whom you come that's in need of help. The Lord Jesus said, there's opportunity to show the love of God. He said He shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. Is God's love shed abroad in my heart? If so, John says, how can you look at your brother or sister in need and say, God bless you? I hope somebody else meets your need, because I'm not going to do it. He said, if you have the ability, how can you say God's love is in your heart? We can employ good work to soften hearts. You remember in Acts chapter 9, the story of Dorcas. She's also known as Tabitha. And she was a woman who was full, it says, of good works and alms deeds. In other words, she was willing to invest financially and also of her time, and she made clothing for the widows. She cared about them. She expressed the love of God. And when she died and Peter came, the women were crying, they were weeping, and they were showing him, here's what she made me. Their hearts were soft. Their hearts had been softened by the good works that Dorcas had done. And as we do good for others, it can soften their hearts to hear what else we have to say about the Lord Jesus. We can employ good work to provoke curiosity. Peter tells us that we're to be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks a reason for the hope that's within us with meekness and fear. Specifically in that context, he is talking about going through suffering. But the application can be made to any time we are doing good. He speaks there earlier in that paragraph of having compassion, of loving as brethren, of pitying others, of being courteous, of responding to evil with good, with blessing. And when you do that, and when you care for someone who doesn't expect you to care for them, that's going to provoke curiosity. Why are they doing that? Yes, there are going to be those who say, hey, here's an opportunity to take advantage of another sucker. That's a risk we have to take. They were willing to take the risk. They were willing to get out and employ what the master had left with them. They were willing to do that. It's a way to evidence God's working in your life. Paul told Titus about the Lord Jesus who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people of his own, zealous, excited about, enthusiastic for good works. We can evidence God working in our lives. And I could go on, but we don't have time. But good works provide the opportunity to employ good work for a greater purpose than just the work itself. And then finally, in verses 19 to 30, and obviously we don't have much time left, but it provides the opportunity to hear good work. Good work. Because as we read this morning, there was an evaluation of these servants. Each of them were evaluated by what they did with what they had. And the man who had two talents was not evaluated in comparison to the man who had five, was he? The master left them with specific amounts of his own choosing because he knew what opportunities they would have. And he provided them with the resources for that. And God has done the same thing for you and for me. And He's given us different abilities, different responsibilities, different gifts, different opportunities, different spheres of influence. He's done that for us. But there is coming the day when there's going to be a reckoning, a settling of accounts, as we have here, an evaluation. And to those two servants who took those opportunities and invested them and employed them and did with them something of a greater good than just the work, we see that they heard those words, well done, good work, good job, way to go, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a small thing. And we might think, well, you know, that's nothing. To do that, I'm not going to take my time to do that. I could be doing something else. And yes, maybe you could. And what you need to do is what the Lord leads you to do. And I would never be the one to say, no, you're supposed to be doing this. No, the Holy Spirit of God will direct you. He will direct us if we're open to that. But we need to know that one day the Lord Jesus is going to evaluate our lives as believers. Now, if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you won't have that kind of evaluation. Rather, you will be judged out of the book of life. And if your name's not there, which is not if you've never trusted Christ, and you claim, well, look at all I did in your name. I prayed, I preached, I helped other people, I gave money. He's going to say, that's filthy rags. But you see, they're not in line with faith in the Lord Jesus. I was talking to a young girl this morning about being baptized. And we talked about walking with the Lord and having a life that's new, a new life. And I asked her a question. I asked her dog's name and she told me, I said, now, is that dog a dog because it barks, or does it bark because it's a dog? She knew. It barks because it's a dog. And someone can do a good work, that does not make that person a believer. There are a lot of people that do good things. But a believer should do good works, should be known by good works. And there's going to be an evaluation one day. Those who don't know Christ, their evaluation is going to be, depart from me, you workers. Yeah, you worked. You workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Into everlasting judgment. But to those who knew the Lord Jesus, who know the Lord Jesus, we'll stand there and He'll evaluate us not for our sin, but rather He will evaluate us based on what we did with the opportunities and the abilities and the privileges we had in 2008 and 2009 and every year of our lives. What did you do with that? Did you employ that? Or did you bury it in the ground? Now we see that there is not only the commendation, but there's the condemnation of that last servant. And it might shake us up a little bit to look and say, well, this guy, he went and buried it, and look at what it says in verse 30. They're going to cast him out. He's unprofitable. He wasted that talent. He wasted his time as a servant. They're going to cast him into outer darkness. They're going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That sounds like hell. That sounds like the lake of fire. It sure does. I'd like to make a suggestion here based on James, what James wrote. James said, you say you have faith, but no works? Well, I'll show you my faith by my works. Again, the dog barks because it's a dog. It's natural for the dog to bark. It should be supernatural for the believer to do good, to do good works. This guy was a false professor. You see, the kingdom of heaven, which the Lord Jesus speaks, it not only includes the true believers, but it's broader than that. It includes those who profess to be believers. And there are those who profess to know Christ as Savior, but there is no fruit in their lives. It's going to be exposed, as it was for this servant. He didn't do a thing. Nothing. Now, there was no works with his faith. Again, James is not saying, all right, you got faith to go out and do some works and you'll be saved. No, he doesn't say that at all. He says, I'll show you my faith by my works. In other words, there's evidence. There's a change in my life. And I have a desire to reach out and help others. And I'm not saying that the only way to do work that evidences your faith is to reach out to those who are hurting. I'm not saying that. I don't want you to misunderstand me. There are many ways. God is the one who knows our hearts. I don't know your heart. You don't know my heart. God knows. But He is the one who is evaluating. So if you're here this morning and you're claiming to be a believer, but there is no change in your life, you're just like you were. You're living just like you were before you came to know the Lord. Then you need to examine that. You need to get before God and say, God, am I truly born again? If you've trusted Christ as your Savior and you're confident in that, and maybe you see fruit in your life, but maybe the words of the Lord Jesus are challenging you even now where you're sitting, that, you know, I need to step up. I need to step up. The Lord has given me 5 talents worth of opportunity, and I think I employed about 2 this year. I want to employ 5. I want to take advantage of every opportunity that the Lord Jesus gives me. He's the one. It's not what I think about you. It's not what you think about you. It's what the Lord Jesus thinks. Looking in the rearview mirror, we don't have long to look. We're going to run smack dab into 2009. So we want to look ahead. But we don't want to forget what the Lord has done. The opportunities. I'd love to talk with you. If God is providing some opportunities for you, I'd love to hear about them. The elders would love to know about them. Other believers would love to know, what's God doing? What are some of the things, the doors He's opening? We want to pray with you about that. We want to encourage you. Maybe we want to get in there too. But don't get discouraged if nobody else gets on fire for your opportunity. The five-talent guy was over here. The two-talent guy might have been working somewhere else. They both were working. It's not the point. The point is that we go where God wants us to go. We get involved where God wants us to be involved. If you're here, you don't know the Lord Jesus, you're heading for weeping and gnashing of teeth in outer darkness. You're missing the life now, abundant life, and you're missing eternal life with God forever. Let's just close in prayer. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. It's about five after. I'm sorry. I finished up 2008 just like I started it. 2009 is a new year. Come back next Sunday. We'll try it again. But I want to give you about a minute. Hope you don't mind. This is your minute. To just between you and the Lord, to look back in the rearview mirror, to look forward, to ask God to speak to your heart, to consider the Lord Jesus who gave Himself for you, to long to hear that good work, well done. It's not of us. It's all of Him. Whatever good work we do is not for our glory, it's for His. Dear Heavenly Father, You have graciously given us another opportunity to consider Your Word and its message to us. Father, those of us who know You, we thank You for the privilege of serving You, of representing You, of reflecting You, of glorifying You, of demonstrating the love that You have shown toward us and others. Father, to allow others to look at our lives and see something different because of You, we thank You for that. Help us to take advantage of every opportunity. Lord, thank You for all the opportunities You gave us this past year. Thank You, Lord, for every one that we took advantage of. Father, we regret the ones that we didn't, but we want to forget those things that are behind, and we want to press forward to that prize of the high calling of You in Christ Jesus. We long to please You every day. Father, I commend us to You. I thank You for the brothers and sisters in Christ who are here. I thank You, Lord, for the unbelievers who may have come in among us. We pray that they have seen You in our time together, and You will speak to their hearts. Draw them to Yourself. Thank You for 2008. We look forward to what You will do in 2009, and we praise You in the name of Your Son, our Savior and Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.